to loosen up, to let go of our thinking, whatever it was that we came in here, thoughts on our mind, Father. I pray that your presence would be felt. You said that inner charge, which is the new birth, would feel your presence, Lord. And I just pray that your divine presence would be with us this morning and help us, Lord, to set all things aside and to come and to worship thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This time we have our brothers, Steve and Brother Duane, come forward to take up the tithes and offerings. While they are, if we turn to 175, prepare ourselves for singing, "He Gave Me Beauty for Ashes."
Believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible. Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, for all things are possible, Lord, I believe.
Why? Because
Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, all things are possible now that you're here, Jesus, you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if we might, to Romans chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 1. And before we do, I'd just like to make an announcement. We will be having some guests next week. I believe a couple brothers from Minneapolis will be coming down, and also Marion and Kirsten. And Kirsten will be bringing her baby. So if you'd like to see her young Joshua, I think his name is, they'll be with us for the weekend. And reading from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have been looking at this verse now for the last couple of weeks, and this be the third week, Father, and we believe, Lord, that there's so much in your word, Father, that it just behooves us to sit and look, and as you, we sang in the song, as you say in your scripture, just sit still, to be still, and to know that you are God. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we lay in the presence of the Son. We know that we're not here rotting, but we know, Father, that in the process of laying in the presence, there's a ripening that takes place. There's a softening up in our heart. And Father, I pray for this church, for myself, Lord, for the brethren, for Brother Vale, the rest of us, Lord, that that sweet spirit that has come into the church would come amongst us, Lord, and that we would begin to reflect that sweet spirit, Father, among us. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to not be so lethargic, Lord, not to be so hardened, Lord, but I just pray that you'd soften us, Father, and just help us to come to the place, Father, where we're just sweet and, Lord, just not really, as your prophet, Lord, he just seemed to be of the nature that if someone disagreed with him, he just prayed for the person. He didn't cast the person out, didn't cast aspersion upon the person, but he just prayed for that person. He loved him anyway. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us to come to that place where we could just be soft and gentle and sweet and not have nothing to say that would be derogatory, but just knowing that you who are the judge will shake out everything. And so, Father, knowing that we're just in your hands, and Father, I just pray that you would help us as we come to worship you. You said present our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one, not one that's just can hardly get up out of bed, but Father, one that's alive, full of vigor and vitality, and Lord, full of energy, Lord. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us in this manner, especially me this morning, Father, with my neck, because it doesn't want me to be able to move around too quick. But, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just shake me up here and just help me, Lord, and just put those bones back in the order that you called for them to be. And Father, that you also bring the church in order, Lord, and bring them to the place, Lord, Father, that the energio, the energizing power of your Holy Spirit will just move within us, Lord, and bring just a real revival. Your prophet said a revival isn't gaining in numbers, but a revival is just bringing back to life. And Father, we know that there's a shakeup that's going on in the world right now. There's people all over the world in Africa and Asia and South America, Lord, that are being stirred in their souls, Father, by the things that we sit so dormant and the things that seem to become so common to us, Father. And I pray it would never become common to us, Lord, but it would give us energy and help us, Father, to get stirred in our souls, Lord, realizing that we are at the hour of your catching away of a bride. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, to Thee and to what You're doing, and we ask that You'd help us, Lord, to enter into that fully. And may the energy of Your dynamics, Father, may it enter into us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I beseech you, I implore you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember, we talked about the presentation is the all-important thing. It's the attitude. If Paul said, let this attitude which was in Christ be in you. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he gave himself, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form that was lower than the angels, came down. Can you imagine? I've thought about this a lot. And can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ himself rejected? He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and yet, the Bible tells us that in the presence of this one who is despised and rejected, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of joy. Now just think, in his age, he was rejected. He preached before thousands, 5,000 at one time fed, 4,000 another time fed. Had 70 disciples follow him everywhere he went until he really started hammering the word. You think that discouraged him? He turned to the 12, said, you want to go also? One of you is a devil. I wonder what the attitude was. You know, it had to be hard. Having been birthed, I'm not just talking about the body of the man, Jesus. I'm talking about the pre-incarnate one who was there in the very creations of the world. And that one, that soul that was there, that indwelt and came into that body. And that man, Jesus, who knew, because he said, Father, glorify me with the glory we had, the glory we had before the foundations of the world. And when he came to earth, instead of his whole creation worshiping him, they rejected him. And yet he knew for what purpose he came into this world. He said, Father, I know the hour is not yet. I know the purpose for which I have come. Knowing the purpose that he came was to be crucified. How could you continue to walk around with a big smile on your face? You know, we always talk about the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, things like that. And yet the very one who is our joy knew his purpose was to be rejected. I kind of wonder if Brother Branham didn't know the same. And you know, it must have been very, very difficult when he had invitations to preach before 40 and 50,000 people. And yet when he's there preaching, having to fight demons like you and I have never had to fight, and then at the end of his ministry, turning down, according to the things we've read, all things are possible if you've all read that book. He said at the end of William Branham's ministry, very peculiar, because he began turning down invitations, 40 to 50,000 people in Colosseums. He began going to places of preaching before 8 and 12. And you look at that and you realize it. You see, in 1 Peter, he tells us that we're ordained to have some trials, testings. And yet he says, you know, the purpose of these testings is for approval. You don't get tested unless God's ready to approve, put his stamp of approval on you. That's when the tests come. That's when the trials come. And he said, now, you know these are coming. And he said, it might not be joyous during the time of the testings. But he said, you've got to look beyond the testings to the stamp of approval, to the result of the test, which is praise, honor, and glory. And so we're looking at this living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. Not a morbid sacrifice. But a living sacrifice. One that's holy. Now let's face it, you and I, there's no way that we can put on the holiness. How many have been a Christian for over 20 years in here? How many find it's just as difficult to be victorious after 20 years as it was when you first became a Christian? Brother, sister, we're laying in the presence of the sun to ripen. Now when you were grain, you were more stiff. In other words, you were more disciplined. You could get on your knees 3 times a day. You could open those books, study, study, study. And in the 70s, it seems, there was a real move of God. Young people coming in from everywhere. The drug culture, the flower children. People were being touched. There was a revival in this message. A real revival sweeping the land. Young people coming in from everywhere. You don't see that today. You don't see it today. What you see is a laying in the presence of the sun. Some call it rotting. Well, the ones who would call it rotting don't understand that God is a husbandryman. And if he allows it to rot, then he's not a very good steward of the crop, is he? But you see, during the ripening process, there's a softening. That's what we're seeing. A softening. You're not as rigid as you used to be. You're not. And you know that's good. But I believe what we're seeing, and we're going to get into it a little bit today, this living sacrifice, it can't be made alive until first the outer shell rot. There's something that holds back the seed life that lays within you, and that's the body of this death. And brother, sister, it's going to take a resurrection to set you free from the stiffness of the body, from the aches and the pains, from the emotions, from the things that guide and direct the emotions, from the hurts and from the stresses. And that, my brother, sister, is what we should be focusing on. You see, Paul said, I urge you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, one which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable that you make this presentation. Now, we found in our study that Paul spoke on several things in one verse of Scripture. He spoke of the following. Number one, a presenting of your body. In other words, the approach that you take. Number two, a living sacrifice. Number three, one which is holy. Four, one which is acceptable. Five, this presentation is reasonable. God's not asking us to climb mountains. He's not asking us to cross the oceans. He's not asking us to pack on our back the sins of the world. It's already been done. And number six, it's our service to God. Now, last week we examined point number one, presenting your bodies, and we began to move into point number two, a living sacrifice. Now, the first thing we examined was a presentation which Paul spoke of here. He said, present your bodies. And when we first examined this approach that he was speaking of, when Paul is suggesting that each have a sacrifice to be made unto God, and our approach is very important. We are to lay the sacrifice at the feet of the Almighty, because remember one thing, there's only one sacrifice that God accepts, and that's His Son. You cannot of your own self make a holy sacrifice. You can't. So it's already been done for you. So all He's asking you is to take on that blood-stained sacrifice, to accept it, and to offer that back. And when God sees the blood, the angel that's come in this hour to bring judgment will pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so we found that there's an approach. Brother Brown said, from believer salvation, it's your approach to a divine gift is what brings the results. It's the way that you come to it. Isn't that right? It's the way that you approach anything. From the ministry of Christ said, but brother, let me tell you something now. It's your attitude towards any divine gift. Your approach to that attitude determines what you're going to get out of it. From proving His Word, He said, it's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight, dear friends. It takes the attitude, and we are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, but it's your attitude that brings the results. Notice the mechanics is here. And so is the what? The dynamic. Why then do we look down the road, or do the people in the message look down the road for the dynamics when it's already here?
And what is the dynamics of God? It's the energy of God. It's the energio. It's the Holy Spirit, the vibrancy, the life. See? And notice he says, the dynamics is here. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can just get started, God will do the rest. So even in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's our attitude and our approach to God that will determine whether we get anything out of His presence or not. The next thing we examine pertaining to this verse was where Paul called it a living sacrifice. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And we looked at the walk and how it was to be performed in an exact way. From the message, Law of Grace, Brother Bram said, now the high priest being anointed, going in, he had to take the blood of an animal with him, or he would die. And another thing about his garment, did you know at the end of that garment, did you ever know what was on the end of it? He had something on the end of it. And it was a little thing hang down at the end of the board of the garment, and it was a pomegranate and a bell, and the pomegranate and a bell. And he had to walk a certain way when he went in. He couldn't make himself just any way. He couldn't just walk any old way. He had to walk a certain way, for every time he made a step, then bells had to play, bumping against the pomegranate, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Then the Lord heard him on the approach. Amen. Hallelujah. There it is. God hears you if you're coming to God. If you're coming, God's provided a way on your approach, for you're coming crying from your heart, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There you're entering through. When you come seeking for the Holy Spirit, see, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then the congregation, the only way that they knowed, now, if you went in there not dressed exactly that way, he'd have died in that door. He'd never come out no more. He died in there if he didn't go in dressed and anointed to go in. So the first thing he had to do is have the blood of a lamb, the blood of a dead animal. And remember, brother, sister, we don't have to kill animals anymore by one sacrifice. We already have. So it's taking that blood in, applying the token, coming before Him, holy, holy, holy Lord of God Almighty. That's why I'm so opposed to that doctrine that goes around that says the fullness of God is in the bride. If the fullness of God is in the bride, you don't need a sacrifice anymore. The mediator's off the throne then. You are the presence of God. And to me, that's getting a mindset that's so lofty that it no more needs a sacrifice. What do they need the blood of Jesus Christ for if they are God incarnate? I don't buy it for one bit. I believe that the only part of God that's in you is the seed of God, the Word of God, the life of God. But God Himself is the one, brother, sister, that you might understand. Brother Branham had that vision, and he saw that woman, that cop with his hands around the woman, touching the places where he shouldn't be touching. And Brother Branham said, oh God, why don't you just smite the whole thing? Why don't you just destroy the earth right now? And he began to see his own sins come up, and the blood of Jesus Christ held him down. Now, there's people who believe that Brother Branham was God Himself. I don't believe that. I don't believe Brother Branham was the same as Jesus Christ was. I don't believe there was the fullness of Godhead dwelt bodily in Him, because there's only one that the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in. He was like Moses and Paul. The pillar of fire was there. Why do you think Brother Branham said, now you know who I'm waiting for? If He was God, if that was the incarnate God before us, then He wouldn't have to wait on Him, would He? Just like the people today. They are the bride. They are God. No, they're not God. They're fooling themselves. Brother, sister, I believe that this softening part, how many of you, when you became a Christian, spent days, hours even, weeping before God because of your sin, because of your sinful life? I believe the softening that God is doing to us is recognizing that after 20-some years, or 30 years in some cases, pushing, stressing, prying, just doing everything we can to serve God righteously, and we realize we can't do it. There's only one who lived without sin, and that was His Son, Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our brother, who laid it all down for us. And I believe that's the softening that's taking place. Realizing your humanity, and yet realizing your source, where you come from. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who giveth me the victory. I didn't produce a victory. Who giveth me the victory? Paul said, after I've run so long, I fear lest I be a castaway. I really believe that if we truly understood where our salvation comes from, it'll humble you. It'll keep you soft. It'll temper you. And when you realize that you are no way, shape, or form perfect, then the things that you say and do toward others
you begin to pray for them.
I really believe, brother, sister, that God has withheld from us,
and for a good reason,
but God has withheld from us what the tribulation is all about. The
prophet didn't speak much on it. You see, it's not for you and I.
But if we only had a glimpse of what it is all about,
you'd be sighing and crying for the abomination that's done in the city. You'd be saying, Lord, either take me out in a rapture or take me home before the rapture. Kill me off if I'm not one of yours. He's come, brother, to infuse life. Look at the condition of the church when he came. When the midnight cry went out, they were all doing what? What were they doing? The whole church. Foolish and wise. Come on. Wake up. Isn't that what he said? Wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise, and he shall give thee what? Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. The church was dead. Tradition set in. And God himself came. The same one who came to resurrect his son has come to resurrect a church, a bride, to infuse the very life of God. And that's what we're talking about this morning, a living sacrifice. We examine Hebrews 10 and verse 19, where Paul said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Notice, he had to have that part there. How could you and I enter into the holiest without the blood of Jesus? God has struck you dead right now. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain and fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we looked at this parhesia, this boldness, which is to come at the breaking of the seals. And that's the right kind of noise, having a freedom in speaking the word. Unreservedness of speech. And that's Malachi 3:16. But not just talking the word. But he said, but getting into the word until the word gets into you. In Malachi 3:16, we read, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now from the token, Brother Branham said, now notice they were not just yet come together to talk about the message. They come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. And that's what you must do. It's time that we laid aside all the foolishness of the world. Time we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive sure, and the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish, and you must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. And how do we do it? By one spirit, we're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart, see? He was not responsible for any out from beneath it. But you believe. Get beneath it. Israel didn't come together to say, well, let's all go over to Goshen. We'll drive up to Goshen. You get on your camel and we'll take the ox cart. And we'll take the Joneses over here and so forth and the Goldbergs and we'll all go up to Goshen. And you know what? Moses is going to speak today. That wasn't it. No, sir, brother. It's to get beneath that blood. Yes, indeed. Not to talk about it, but to get into it. And one of them would say, you know, Mr. Goldberg, I actually know that's the truth. Yes, brother, I believe it's the truth. I know that it is the truth. But notice he said, not just talking, but enter into. So we find in Romans 12 and 1, he says, I beseech you, I implore you, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living, a sacrifice which has been made alive. Now this morning I'd like to again examine this living sacrifice. For only those who have been made alive by the resurrection power of God can make this sacrifice. In Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, 1 Corinthians, he said, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And what does it mean to be made alive? What is this living sacrifice? Well, this word alive is the Greek word zao, and it means to live, to be alive. It means to breathe, to be among the living, not lifeless, not dead. It means to enjoy real life, to be active, to be blessed in the manner of the living and the acting. It speaks of living water, having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. In other words, my cup runneth over. Not a stagnant pool. It means to be full of vigor, to be fresh. Where does our refreshing come from? The presence of the Lord. It means to be efficient, to be active, to be powerful, to be efficacious. That means to be effective. And I ask the question, what produces this life? Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, if you turn with me this morning, he said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now that word "worketh" there is a Greek word. It's used of the anointing of God in a person's life and the anointing of Satan in a person's life. And the Greek word is energio. It means to energize. And so he says, "And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in unbelief, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now energizes the children of disobedience." Where do they get their energy? Show them a little dollar sign. It gets them up out of bed, gets them into the job. Then what does God have to do to get the people up out of bed to come and worship Him? God has an energy also. See, God's isn't green. No. That's one question I've always had. Why is it that you realize we have an inheritance? You realize that everything you work for, that this flesh can produce, is temporary, but God has a payback, and that payback is eternal. You see, our Father owns the cattle on how many hills? 1,000 hills. How many of you have seen 1,000 hills? I don't think you've ever seen 1,000 hills. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. And everything the world is energized to is going to fall. The world economies are fashioned after the U.S. economy. The almighty buck, they call it. And it's going to fall. And when it falls, brother, sister, the world will plummet into a depression that will bring on a tribulation period. And everything they're working for today that gets them up out of bed is going to be gone. There's coming a time down the road that none of you will have jobs. Believe me. It's coming. The time will come. I believe there's coming a time when the resurrection begins, those who have been caught up into the shout will be aware of a gathering, a secret gathering. Yes, as it was in the days of Paul, when he wrote in the book of Acts, actually, Luke wrote it in the book of Acts, when Jesus was raised from the dead, there was over 500 of witnesses to the fact that many of the saints, Abraham and Sarah, were seen in the streets. There's coming a time, brother, sister, when that third pole Brother Ram talked about, when that resurrection that he talked about, the first shall be last, and the last, that's this generation, he said, will be first. And up comes the living. And those who have been caught up into the shout will be made aware. And they'll be walking together, I believe, Brother Branham. As Brother Vail has mentioned to me, we don't know, we don't have thus saith the Lord, but the fact is, Brother Branham said, it'll take this ministry to raise the dead. It'll take this ministry to bring forth. I believe, as Jesus, when he came back, he took a cowering, fearful lot. And somehow they became energized. They went into all the world, willing to be crucified upside down. And yet, months before that, hiding. Something energized the church, brother, sister. And I believe a resurrection's coming. I believe those who are caught up in the shout will be caught up in the voice. Those who are not caught up in the shout, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Can I go get my children at that time? Nope. Brother Branham said, when the resurrection takes place, he said, you'll see all those that are raised, all the loved ones that have gone on before. He said, Lord, let you get it out of your system before Jesus himself appears. There's got to be something take place, brother, sister. We're caught into another dimension. But as Brother Vail said, something has got to bring forth that body. Brother Branham said, watch the resurrection take place in there. You see, the Lord has come to energize us now,
to bring us into the shout, to get us focused. And yet the devil, here,
we read it, he has an energy as well. You see, it's always been the love of money. As Brother Vail said on the tape last night, it's always been sex and money, sex and money. Brother Vail said three things: popularity, sex, and money. That's three things that will bring down every time.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Paul tells us that we've been quickened. He says, we who are dead in trespasses, where in the time, place, times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, energizes the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in the time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, notice the children of wrath, the children of wrath, the wrath of God. He said we weren't them, but we were by nature because of this flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. What ages to come? I believe in this hour he's here to show us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, as I said, that word worketh is a Greek word energio, and it means to energize. We find the same word used in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that worketh, that energizes in us. That word is energio. It means to display one's activity. It means to be effectually, to effectually work, to be effectually fervent, to work effectually in. Now, Paul uses the same word in Romans 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work, did energize in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So there's two energies taking place in this hour. The energy of God, which is invisible. And remember, those things which can be seen are temporary. Those things which cannot be seen are eternal. And then there's the energy of the dollar. What you can get people to do for money. Prostitution. Drugs. Pimping themselves to a company. Selling their souls for this green stuff. And yet God himself has come down in the form of the pillar of fire, in spirit form, and the people don't want that energy. Now, how can you be a living sacrifice if you don't have the life, the energy which leads to life? Because there is an energy, brother, sister, that leads you to death. When that spirit of the devil went into those pigs, what did they do? They went off the cliff. They ran for death. This is coming an hour upon the world where they make a pact with death, right? That's what it's all leading to. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6, we read the same again. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which energizes all in all. Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which energizes by love. Remember when we talked about faith, hope, and love? Faith is the revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation. The young man gets a revelation of someone to be his wife. She gets the revelation that he's to be her husband. What does that revelation do? It builds energy. It builds earnest expectation. And the earnest expectation is that steam, like Brother Branham said, when the Holy Ghost comes in, he said it builds up such a power that the Pentecostal just lets it go, woo-hoo, put, you know, out the whistle, like a locomotion. He said, but what we need to do is get those gears rolling. Get it in motion. That's the energy of God. See? And when the young man sees a woman, and there's a revelation strikes his heart, he knows that that's the woman for him. It'll cause him to drive miles. I drove 150 miles to see my wife as often as I could. Brought flowers every time. I should keep doing it. I'm a bad boy. I haven't done it like I should. But it builds an energy. It builds an earnest expectation. And what does the earnest expectation do? It brings forth love. It brings forth a manifestation of that revelation. And notice Paul says here, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, revelation, which worketh by love. The stimulation of revelation.
In Ephesians 1, verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who energizes all things after the counsel of His own will." And Ephesians 1 and 20, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places." Notice, "which He wrought in Christ." Which He energized in Christ when? When He raised Him from the dead. Philippians 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which energizes in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Oh, praise God for the energy. Lord, if I could only have the energy to will, then I'll have the energy to do. Right? Where do you get that energy from? Pep pills? No. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Because if you have the will, you'll have the do. You'll do, see? Not the do like the hair. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, "For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God which effectually energizes also in you that believe." So what brings forth the energy? The word of God. And what is the word of God called? Well, Jesus said, "I am the what of life?" The bread. Why do you eat bread? Why do you eat food? Produces energy. It's called caloric, right? And so many calories is so many units of energy. See, and if you eat it but you don't do anything, then it turns to fat. Now, fat is energy stored up. So you got lots of energy, some of us. Store it up. Let's put it to use. See? Now, notice then, He lets us know that it is Christ, the Word, the bread of life, that gives us the energy. See? "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." And He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which word effectually energizes you that believe." Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7, He says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." So, on the one hand, you've got the mystery of iniquity, which is energizing. It's setting in motion all the politics, all the world order, all this other stuff for the Antichrist, the one world system. It's all working. There, look, those people are running around the world, evangelizing the new world order. Now, the energy of God ought to be getting us out evangelizing the new coming order, the millennium. See? Now, in James 5, verse 16, says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for the other, that you may be healed, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that word effectual is the word energized. That the effectual energy of a righteous man will avail much. Prayer of a righteous man will avail much. Now in Colossians 3 verse 1 we read, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with God in Christ." Is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off these. Now, what does He say? He's saying, look, when you come alive, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall we appear. When Christ who is our life shall manifest in His true character, and brother, sister, we saw the true character of God through that man. We absolutely did. A yielding Himself. Not my will, but thine be done. I can of myself do nothing, but what the Father showeth me, that the Son doeth likewise. You see, He came because the Scripture says that when we see Christ, we'll become like Him. And brother, sister, this man saw that angel of the Lord, the angel of His presence. He saw the very Christ Jesus a few times, appeared in vision to him. He said, eyes that could sink the world, and yet eyes of so much compassion and love. Just a tremendous complexity of God, veiled in His Son. We saw a man who yielded himself to that. And actually he became an example to us. One traveled 7 times around the world to show forth, to manifest to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, you know, he could have pooled all that into a great organization. But he didn't. He didn't. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. They wanted to make him king. The next day they crucified him. That's politics for you. I just wonder about if we're not going to have a Kane in the White House. Can you imagine that? We have a lot in the Senate. What if this Mick Kane, like McDonald's, have it your way? What if we have a Mick Kane in the White House? It could happen yet. All the devil has to do is anoint the man like he did to Clinton, and you'll see it happen. His wife's hair is shorter than his is. I think, Don, his wife's hair is about like yours. Same. Actually, shorter on the sides than yours, and a little more on top. Not much. Not much. It's about the same hairstyle he's got. But who knows? Therefore, once you've been made alive, you must do certain things to keep yourself alive and full of energy. Now, I know that there's nothing really we can do, but the fact is, Brother Bassett, the same Holy Spirit that Rebecca watered, or the same camel that she watered, the same power she watered, is the same power that packed her home. The same Holy Spirit, brother, sister, that's going to take you home is the same one you've got to feed. And you've got to water. In Matthew 4:4, he said, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And who's the mouth of God? It's his prophets. Therefore, how do we keep on living? How do we energize ourselves? How do we become energized? By eating. In the natural, so is it in the spiritual. See? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. In John 4:10, he said, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting." Brother, sister, if there isn't this living water in you, bubbling up, springing forth, then we're drinking from the wrong well. Now, I believe that the energio that the devil has produced in the people through his money, popularity, and women is producing one thing, AIDS and death. And the AIDS is within them. And as we saw in the film last night, Brother Vail said, now, if one man has 220 women, and he said, that's not too unnatural. They say, well, the average man says that he has 20 women. He said, oh, that might be boastful, you know, youthful talk. Maybe it's more like 5. But what if it is 20? If you've got 10 million people, Time magazine said 13 million children. There's two parents to have children. So you have two parents to have children. They're all running around like rabbits. So you've got, let's say 10, he says. Now, if 10 have 20, that's 200 million people right there. And if the 200 million have 20, that's 4 billion people right there. Doesn't take long, does it? Compounding. Pretty quick? Pretty quick. They claim 40 million people have AIDS. That's the outbreak. The whatever you call it. What about the 20 times the 40? Not 80, but 800 million that have it in them. And they're finding that brother, sister, no longer has a 15-year. It could be 20, 25-year sitting dormant. What is it? It's a devil. It's the energio. Oh, they have all kinds of energy to run to their sex parties. To run to their night drinking bashes and chasing and all this other stuff. Yeah, it always happens at night. Children of the darkness, see? But God has given us an energy. An energio. And that's to get ready for going home. Get ourselves prepared. We're going on a trip. Could be very shortly. Brother Bram looked for it any time. I believe it's any time. I believe he looked for it at any time. And look, if even we have the picture of Moses who came, he was ready to deliver the people, and the people rejected him. That was 40 years. Brother Bam came in 46. Say it was 56 when he crossed America. That was 96. Shane was 65 when he passed away, when he was taken off into the wilderness, so to speak. That's 2005. You see, there isn't a whole lot of time, brother, sister, we have left. Things are happening rapidly. We have homosexuals in the White House performing their vulgar activities. And we have the most evil people that have ever walked the face of the earth running it, the whole horde of them. No different from Hitler's regime. They're killing babies, killing the influence of everyone who would stand up against them, trashing them before the public. They had 900 files on hand to shut the mouths of anyone who would speak up. And so they've gotten the entire Congress to step back. Because let's face it, any man in politics is a hypocrite to begin with because he speaks out of two sides of his mouth. So they're going to have a file. No doubt, no doubt. Brother Brown said, the problem is you could have an Abraham Lincoln in every community in this nation, and she's still gone. Why? Because it's thus saith the Lord. We're not going to change things. I don't think anybody here believes things are going to change. In John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, past tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. Notice, hearing it then. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. We find in Matthew 22 and verse 31, for as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He only came, brother, sister, in this hour for his own. But as it was in the first hour, he came for his own, and his own, what? Received him not. See? Now, we find in John 6 and verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Notice, he gives it for the life. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You've got to have food, brother, sister. And he's speaking of bread as a staff of life. You've got to have the bread of heaven to energize you. If you're slogging around and just kind of wondering why you're just not on fire and the revival's not burning up in your heart, it's because you're not eating from the bread of life. I believe there's some that are. I really do. And why is it? I believe, Ron, because you're spreading that word. You're talking that word. You're trying to get people going in that word. And that's why you're on fire. You see, that's why the revival fires are burning, but they're not burning in this country. They've rejected. They're burning around the world. It's hard because the atmosphere isn't here for us to worship like we should. But it ought to be. We've got the table spread. Where the saints of God are fed. Come and dine. The Master calleth. Come and dine. See? We're not talking the word. If we were doing according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I wish you would all just post that up all over your house. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Talk it in the morning. Talk it at lunch. Talk it when you're sitting at the table. Talk it when you go to bed. Put the tapes on. You'll find a revival fire burning in your house. And you won't miss church because the revival fires are burning. And you'll be talking the word on the way to church. Not whether my hair is right or whatever. You'll be talking the word. We had a little revival going home last night. It was kind of nice. The girls were all singing. We were singing. It was great. That's the way it should be every time. Coming out of church, you're stirred. You're singing songs to the Lord. Harmonizing, whatever. Having fun in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See? Amen. This is that bread of life which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. John 7 and verse 37, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Don't put a cork. Don't tap it off. Let it flow. Talk it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. David said, my cup runneth over. His heart runs over. And he wrote the Psalms. You see. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I ask the question this morning. Whoso believeth that God himself has come down in this hour, that Jesus, his Son, is the Son of God, and God dwells in that Son, believest thou this? Do I hear an amen? Believest thou this? One more time. Believest thou this? Then let the rivers flow. Talk it. Believe it. Acts 17, verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead as like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art man's devices. In him we live and move and have our being. Now, Brother Branham said, I want you to notice here of a prophet, apostle rather, Paul, how that he made mention of this, you hath he quickened, who were once dead, you hath he quickened, who were once dead, dead in sin and trespass, walking after the things of the world, the desire of the flesh, and fulfilling the desire of the mind. What caused this change, you see? And what caused it from one time being dead to be quickened? Now the word quickened means to make